Hello, you are listening to Hiran Online. The special representative of the Secretary General, Dr. Augustine Mahiga, gave an exclusive interview to Hiran Online on the latest developments in Somalia, including the latest meeting of the Somali principals in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. Mr. Ambassador, welcome to Hiran Online.
Thank you very much. I appreciate for giving me the opportunity to talk.
You attended a landmark conference on the future of Somalia and ending the transition alongside with the Somali principals. What can you tell us about the outcome of that conference?
This meeting was more than a routine meeting among the principals who are the signatories of the roadmap, the Garowe principles, and the Galkayo agreement. Normally they meet periodically to review progress, but this one was most critical because it is within 90 days of ending the transition. And there were very critical sticking issues that had to be agreed upon to resolve and push forward the peace process. These issues were the following. One was to ensure that the convening of the elders is truly representative of the traditional elders. There were some disputes that some of the elders were not authentic. This meeting in Addis Ababa was able to validate to a great extent and found that 5% of the elders were contentious representatives and established an elders arbitration committee who among themselves they'll be able to resolve within 5 days on who is who. But more or less, the issue has been resolved. There was also the issue of harmonizing and consolidating inputs from various quarters on the draft constitution and on agreeing on areas that need to be presented to the Constituent Assembly for provisional adoption and areas of the constitution that will need to be revisited and continue the discussion beyond August.
Mr. Ambassador, there is an upcoming elections in Somalia. Many people in the country, including presidential candidates, are questioning and are suspicious in the transparency of these elections. How can you assure the transparency of the electoral process to the Somali people?
First of all, I want to assure the Somalis that they have their traditional elders, who are the custodian of authority and integrity and legitimacy. But they are human beings, and they can be subjected to all kinds of pressures. Therefore, we have established a body that is called the Technical Electoral Committee that will vet and oversee and help the elders in the selection and nomination of the members of both the Constituent Assembly and the Parliament. There will also be a body of observers, independent observers, from the international community, consisting of representatives of the major regional organizations that have been involved in the peace process, the League of Arab States, the Organization of Islamic States, the African Union, IGAD, the European Union, and there is room for other member states also to be engaged to observe the entire process from the Constituent Assembly through Parliament. And definitely the media will be there with, and we're encouraging full involvement of the media in the coverage of this process.
If we go to the issue of Puntland and the transitional federal government, Puntland withdrew its delegation from the ongoing conference of the traditional leaders in Mogadishu and threatened to reject the draft constitution despite signing the roadmap. If such disagreements continue, what will be the reaction of the United Nations?
Actually, those apparent disagreements have been resolved in Addis Ababa. It's true Puntland had voiced some concerns on some parts of the constitution, especially on the issue of federalism in the next constitution. They had also raised the issue of the working methods of the Committee of Experts and the Independent Federal Constitutional Commission. In Addis Ababa, we were able to resolve, first of all, by incorporating all the comments, which includes the issue of federalism, into the draft. And secondly, they agreed on the issues that will be part of the draft to be presented to the Constituent Assembly, and those areas which will continue to be for public discussion in Parliament and beyond after the new government has been formed in August. So all the differences that emerged and necessitated the convening of the principles have indeed been addressed in Addis Ababa.
As you know, the deadlock of the Somali Parliament continues. We have two Parliament speakers in Mogadishu. More than 300 Somali members of Parliament decided to sack the current Speaker Sharif Hassan and elected new Speaker. Why is it hard for the international community and the United Nations to accept the decision of the majority of the Somali Parliament?
Well, this issue of the dispute within Parliament has been going on for about 6 months. Early on, we had to get the position of the transitional federal institutions, including the speaker, and the government pronounced itself that the action of some members of parliament was illegal, and they based their arguments on the manner in which the speaker was ousted without being procedurally correct, and the way in which the violence which surrounded the separation of the issue of the leadership. And the international community took cue from the government and the National Security Committee that this process of ousting the speaker was illegal and unprocedural. And that is how the rest of the international community and the region continued to recognize the previous speaker, Sheikh Hassan, Sharif Hassan.
We know that the Somali leaders have accused the international community of failing to fulfill their promises of funding the roadmap. We also know that the international community is playing a crucial role in the whole process, and there will be setbacks if the delays of funding the roadmap continue. What will be the impact of these delays to the political process?
The international community has committed and pledged $10 million for ending the transition. There have been some delays in disbursing these funds and of making sure that the money that the international community has provided is transferred to the Somali government. As of today, I know of the commitments by governments that has been honored. The British government, for example, has given £1 million, and the European Union has also given significant amounts, and individual countries have also done the same. But it was the transfer of money that was delayed a little bit. And by yesterday, the United Nations had transferred almost $1 million to the TFG, and we hope the rest of the 10 million will be given and accounted for properly. So money is no longer an issue. It is just the process of disbursement, and the next one will be that of accountability, to account for the money that is being given by the international community.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador, for being with Huron Online.
Thank you very much to you too.